Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Well, the United States Congress, or at least one of the committees of the Congress, heard from a young lady, Frances Haugen, today. Used to work for Facebook, doesn't any longer. She has become a whistleblower of sorts. She's released a lot of documents, internal documents, and the gist of it, Will Reinhart will correct me if I'm wrong, but I watched part of what she had to say today and listened to her entire opening statement. She says, look, Facebook knows that it's doing damage to Americans and to children in particular, and they're ignoring that because there are more profits to be made if you ignore that. And they're not telling the public what's going on and what they know about what their product does to people in this country. Will Reinhart is with the Center for Growth and Opportunity. Will, welcome back to the program, and tell me what Americans should make of the fact that this young lady says Facebook knows that it's doing damage. They are not releasing that information, at least not willingly, and that they're going to keep on doing it until somebody does something to rein them in.
Yeah, I think that she is obviously in many regards correct here. I mean, there are the studies that have been released and the two major studies that came out last week in response to all this really show that, yeah, Facebook does seem to have an effect, a bad effect on teens, especially when it comes to body image. But there's a lot of areas where they don't really seem to have an effect. So at least in the United States, they did something like 22 different, tough life choices, as I believe what they call their hard life choices. And it really was, competition, social competition and body image issues that really affected teens. I think the reason why they're doing this and the reason why they're not cleaning up their act on some of these things, I mean, to be very honest, Facebook did implement some of the changes that were in the studies that have recently become out. But I think that there is something to be said for the whistleblower that she was trying to highlight the fact that Facebook might not be moving as quickly and isn't moving as quickly because there's obviously some sort of, short-term benefit to be had with engagement and, which means higher advertisement revenues and all these other kinds of things that obviously that Facebook cares about.
But, I mean, there are lots of I bet, Will, you and I could come up with lots of examples where companies, private companies, even those not in tech, could make a lot more money if they could just ignore the side effects that their product has on the people they're selling it to. But we don't let them do that, do we?
No, we don't. In part, I think that we need to at least put, some kind of, some limits around what she's suggesting because – to be very honest, I'm based at the Utah State University, and we have a research group that's part of our organization that actually looks at this kind of work. And it's in kind of a lab setting, but we found that there is this kind of short term bump in engagement when these sorts of things happen, right? So in the short term, there seems to be a really big kind of bump in engagement. But then long term, users basically go off the platform. So as much as I know that engagement is driven by a lot of, negative press and obviously negative stories that are on the platform, that really seems to be, at least in, from our work, it seems to really be in the short term, that long term, there actually seems to be an effect of people logging off, which is in fact the case. Facebook has had a lot of people log off and spend less time. There's something like 2 or 3 less minutes about every single year that we see people, spending less on Facebook as compared to the year before. So they're clearly being affected by this, despite the fact that, again, they are still, a pretty big, powerful big tech company, but they're not getting the kind of engagement that they used to get from at least their core website, Facebook.
Will, the other part of this, I mean, I'm very concerned about the effect on kids, but the other part she spoke to today was, to use her word, stoking division and weakening our democracy, because that's talking about the entire country and the effect that entities like Facebook have on politics, on the discussion of public policy matters. I mean, whether it's vaccines or masks or whatever, or the border. That Facebook has the ability to push agendas one direction or another, which means even if we protect the kids, they're still having a negative effect on divisions within the country and weakening our democracy. How do we speak to that and still respect the First Amendment?
That is the toughest issue that I think was brought up during the hearing. The question that existed and something I don't think anyone had any really good answers to deal with is how do you ensure that, you know, the free flow of speech goes on these platforms without, you know, running into the First Amendment? And that, to be very honest, I don't think was really any good answer to that question.
Well, I'll tell you what, let me throw an idea at you, Will. And as usual, it's one of my crazy ideas. How about strict adherence to Section 230? If these companies want the kind of special protection they get only granted by the government, that's where they're different than many companies, because the government has said you get special protection by being a Section 230. And essentially, they've agreed we'll be a platform. Whatever somebody wants to publish, you can put it on our platform. We will obviously take down things like plans for nuclear bombs or, criminal activities, child pornography, things like that. But everything else goes. Except Will, as a user of a lot of social media, I see that they dramatically filter messages, and they filter it with a bias against conservative ideas and in favor of liberal ideas. And we can all of us on the conservative side can cite lots of examples where you put a story up and the story just seems to go nowhere. Why? Because Facebook has throttled the conservative side, and they've given free rein to everybody else. And if they want to be a platform, they have to be a platform. Strict adherence to 230, or you lose the protection. Now, wouldn't that solve a lot of the problem?
That is what's being suggested. I'm unclear if that's going to solve the kind of fundamental problems that a lot of these companies are facing, which is that their technology really just isn't that good at filtering out, you know, the harmful content, the stuff that I think we want to get rid of, as compared to the speech and the political issues that we don't want to get rid of. That is something that even the whistleblower mentioned, you know, throughout the hearing, that Facebook's tools in dealing with this don't seem to do that good of a job.
Because they don't want to do a good job of filtering out crazy? Yeah. I mean, in other words, if you're not supposed to filter based on the content, and that's basically the at the heart of the First Amendment, it says we can keep you from shouting fire in a crowded theater. But if you have any other crazy idea you want to put out there, go ahead, put it out there, publish it, make a mimeograph, put it on the internet, whatever you want to do, except they seem to be really good at filtering conservative ideas out, and they don't seem to do a damn thing about filtering out, you know, crazy stuff from the left.
There have been criticisms by the left about the stuff that has been filtered out, but to go to your broader point, this Section 230 reform was the thing that everyone talked about. It was what Ted Cruz talked about. It was what John Thune talked about. It was even what the whistleblower wanted, was reforms on Section 230 to really focus on algorithms and potentially create an entire new provision within the law that you know, puts all of these platforms in it. So I think you're very much on the edge of this and thinking critically about exactly what might be, in fact, the best solution to solve these problems.
Well, how about more transparency, too? Because if they say, our algorithm is politically neutral, you know, it's politically agnostic, I call BS on that. I think that's baloney. And I think that if they were to say, okay, we'll show you what our algorithm does, throw a bunch of material at it and see who gets filtered out and who stays in. And I can almost guarantee you, the stuff from the left stays in, the stuff from the right, for the most part, gets filtered out. And then you say, you've invented an algorithm that cuts conservative free speech off of what is supposed to be your agnostic platform.
And that is exactly what I think, why I think that researchers like myself should have better access to this data and have a better relationship with the company to actually access it, understand what's going on with users.
I think that's exactly what we need. That's Will Reinhardt from the Center for Growth and Opportunity. Will, it's always a pleasure. Glad to be with you, and I'll get to your calls in just a moment at 866-HEY-LARS. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show and the Radio Northwest Network.